The good operator does, frankly. A problem even now, though, is that for them, with insurance rates doubling or tripling, well, their sales or revenues haven't. And what we're putting them in is a vicious circle. To raise the extra $2,000 to cover your added premium this year, you're going to need to obviously gross a lot more in sales to net $2,000 to pay the insurance carrier, which means they're going to have to apply more alcoholic beverages or more food, and depending on the market, they may not have a choice. And most operators are not going to be able to cut that. But I think your philosophic statement is right where the industry would like to be.
Thank you.
Okay, gang.
Thank you.
We have to go on now, so.
Mr. Mason? Mm-hmm.
House Bill 2284.
House Bill 2284 comes on the...
Tom's just sitting outside waiting. Wait before someone else comes up.
Is this intimidation?
Yeah.
This is
the helmet
lock. Can I introduce
the helmet lock? Yeah. Mr. Chairman, are we on the tape rolling good?
Yeah.
For the record, I'm State Representative Tom Mason, House District 11. I'm here to testify in favor of one of the more innovative pieces of legislation presented to the 83rd session. That's House Bill 2284. This is a bill which establishes what we call brew pub or brewery public house licenses, but known affectionately as a brew pub license. And very briefly, we have an emerging industry in Oregon of what we call microbreweries. And I will allow these gentlemen sitting behind me, who in total represent the microbrewery industry in Oregon here today. We have four microbreweries, is that correct?
Three, maybe four.
Anyway, and all of which, by the way, I might add, are located in Northwest Portland, which happens to be the Speaker's district, but don't let that affect you at all. This industry is essentially an industry which brews a very high quality ale and beer, and is emerging as being, I think, part of the Oregon story and something that's very attractive to our lifestyle. No one can object to a good stout glass of beer. The brewpub bill.
You do.
You know, I was thinking of having these gentlemen bring in samples, but we thought that we'd probably get in trouble.
Representative Mason,
yes.
I think you should have been sitting in the room for the last hour.
Yes, I am.
You
didn't catch the
statement.
Whole thing.
Anyway, I thought we'd get in trouble. It essentially allows these microbreweries to do what we've allowed wineries to do, and that is have tasting rooms, essentially where you can sell your limited amount of your product on the premises. The wineries have done very well with the tasting room, and that's encouraged our winery industry. And I would like to see this bill pass and do the same thing for the microbrewery industry that we've done for the winery industry. Unless you have any questions, I'll turn it over to the gentleman that really knows something about the issue.
Thank you. Questions for everything good? No?
Well, thank you. Tom, I just want to ask you about where it also says that they could sell pasteurized malt beverages not manufactured on the premises.
Essentially, that enables that this brew pub would look strangely like your like a tavern, which means they could sell other beers there. You wouldn't have to sell merely your own beer. You wouldn't, of course, there'd be no reason in the world to bring in any other beer because these beers are fine premium beers. But in case somebody wanted to drink another beer, you could sell that on the premises. So.
Okay. Go ahead.
Since in some cases it would be essentially like a tavern, does this mean that they are also subject to the same kinds of liability and other kinds of...
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I would assume they would be.
You certainly could not accept them from the Dram Shop Acts and all that. That act per se is a can of worms I don't want to open up.
To some extent, it's already open.
I must say that we spent many, many, many painful hours in the 1971 session with that exact thing, so, or probably 79 session.
Now, I understand. We just finished some discussion of liability insurance problems with restaurant and beverage outlets, and so I was just curious whether...
if your question is, would they be accepted from any liability, the answer is no, or at least no intent to accept them.
I wonder if they know what you're getting into.
I hesitate to get into this time. The ales or beverages that are made on the premises, are any of those pasteurized?
I don't think so.
What was the question?
Are they pasteurized? And the answer is no.
Why, under D, do we require that other beverages that are sold be pasteurized?
I don't know. That's not, it's a technical part of the bill. It's an issue, it's
not a part of... Would striking the word pasteurized under D be friendly? Would striking the word pasteurized in line 19 sub D be friendly?
I think it's line 13, isn't it?
Yeah, it has nothing. I would consider that friendly. One of the things we've tried to do with this bill is to keep this as simple as possible, because the one thing I've learned in my short sojourn into the area of laws involving breweries and liquor and all this is that it's a complex field. So,
any questions, Mr. Chairman?
You talk about can of worms. Pasteurized and unpasteurized may open up a lot more than we think as well.
Yeah.
I guess I'm curious as to whether the fact that one is, what the current law requires as far as pasteurization goes, because this says that you can sell unpasteurized malt beverages on the premises. You can sell pasteurized malt beverages that aren't manufactured on the premises. So does this mean, does this affect at all or is this worded this way because of existing laws on what can and can't be sold in the state, what pasteurized beers can and can't be sold in the state? Is that why it's written this way?
I assume so. The last thing this bill wants to do is get involved in this this euphemism, the controversy over pasteurized versus non-pasteurized beer. We have no intent of getting involved with that. This is for little tiny breweries. Little tiny Oregon breweries.
Mr. Chairman, I understand that. I just, at the same time, that's why I wanted to make sure I understand why.
You're sure you'll do the right thing by that issue?
Yeah. Are you humanized?
Mr. Chairman? That's why I deliberately took the word pasteurized out, so we could fall back under current Oregon law in regard to on-premise and off-premise sales of pasteurized versus close-filtered brews.
Representative Anderson, you've left me in the dust.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the current law says unpasteurized malt beverages and brewery sealed packages containing not less than 1 gallon each for consumption.
Okay. So if there's nothing further, I'd like to turn it over to the real participants. I'm just going to introduce Dick Ponzi and bring out some of the other people here.
Tom? Maybe we can have one or two talk for the whole group.
Yeah, that's right. I briefed them on the proper form of legislative presentations here. Although I've got to feel compelled to introduce Art Lawrence, my constituent, who is the the father of this concept and also the producer of Grant's Ale. So, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, Tom.
I want to introduce, I'm Dick Ponzi to start with. This is Mike McMillan and Kurt
Widmer.
All right. Since we didn't bring samples of what we produce, I thought I'd bring the next best thing for you, if I may.
The labels.
I'll
But it's very meaningful because I think it will demonstrate two things. One is that we're operating, and it has an interesting story in the back, which tells you a little bit about microbreweries and how we're different from...
One more, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sir, for the record. Thank you.
From the River Brewery.
Right on the back of the brewery.
Okay.
Nick.
I also... Well, I'm first of all president of the Columbia River Brewery, which is represented by the Bridgeport Ale, and I'm also a owner of a winery. So there's a lot of similarities here between the microbreweries and the wineries. And one of the similarities, I think, is that we find ourselves in the microbrewery business where the winery was, say, 15 years ago. And that is a, I think there's kind of a revolution that's taking place across the country. And that revolution is going back to what small breweries were like before Prohibition. And it's after Prohibition that the small breweries no longer existed. And conglomerates took over small breweries and in many cases local breweries no longer exist, and that's the case, that's where we find ourselves today, at least in Oregon. Now, there are other states in the country, namely neighboring states of Washington and California, where this resurgence of the local brewery is becoming very popular, and I think we're 10 behind in that new adventure. I think with the current winery or brewery that we have here, we're demonstrating that a quality product can be produced, a product that is not for the masses, but for people who are discerning in beers as people who were discerning in wines when we started the wine industry in Oregon. It's an industry that is very conscious of quality. It's an industry that is clean. It's an industry that is small. It's an industry that reflects a state that is very conscious of its environment and the attitudes of the people. Now, this microbrewery movement is can only be successful, I feel, if we have the potential to sell our product. And since it is a small operation, it requires the need to not only wholesale the product, but also the possibility to retail, that is directly to the consumer, which adds another dimension to this operation, that is the brew pub, and that's what we're talking about here today. A brew pub is attractive in the sense that it allows the manufacturing of beers, which are not available except by imports or by local breweries, and this is where the brew pub would come in. The brew pub can attract people who are interested in very specialty kind of beers, a variety of beers, and it requires that the retail had to have this retail privilege. It's an industry that is not going to replace the current production of what we have in the state now, that is the large brewery. It's a beer which is quite different, a beer which is, as I say, not for every consumer. It's a beer that people have experience in traveling to Europe. It's a beer that we can offer in our local cities. And I can see this thing growing just as the wine industry did 15 years ago. currently, in the state, a brewery can operate as a brewery but not as a retail outlet. We can invite people to the brewery, and we can offer samples of the beer, but we cannot charge for it. I think that this size of operation, this microbrewery size that we're talking about here, requires that that this size brewery have an additional outlet, and that is this retail market. I'd like to open it up for questions, if you have any other questions and clarifications that you might want.
Question?
Dick, I think this is great. I think, as you probably know, I'm a charter member of the Wine Growers Association. I think we can make history by adopting this type of legislation for a whole new industry, just like you pointed out, and I'd fully support it. I think it's super. It's jobs, it's economic development, it's...
Everything's meant to be tourism.
It's also good beer.
That's important.
What about line D, where you have in here that you want to be able to sell pasteurized malt beverages not manufactured also?
Line 13.
Okay, for line 13?
Yes.
Oh, I'm not sure. I don't have...
Line 13?
Are we reading from...
From the bill itself.
I'm looking at the House bill.
Okay. My name is Kurt Whitman from the Whitman Brewing Company. That was... we proposed an amendment to that. I believe you received that in the packet that we delivered yesterday. It's Section 2D, and we said to sell pasteurized and unpasteurized malt beverage not manufactured on the premises, and that was because almost all the microbreweries that I'm aware of are not pasteurizing their product because they're selling in draft form only. And the way the state lies now, you're required to pasteurize only if you're packaging in bottles or cans. And what the reason that we wanted to... we're proposing that as an amendment here to that, to sell pasteurized and unpasteurized, so that we would be permitted to sell one another's products. The way it is now, we'd only be able to... be permitted to sell a pasteurized beer from a major brewery, in other words, in addition to our own.
Well, let me ask a question in a different way. The thing I'm getting at anyway is, this give you any particular advantage over any other tavern?
No. It was this was going to limit us. It was an error in the way we worded it originally, just to restrict ourselves to pasteurized, because any tavern can now sell pasteurized and unpasteurized, and we were restricting ourselves rather unfairly in comparison to a tavern by restricting ourselves only to pasteurized.
Okay, aside from the what you can sell, how about in the fees? I didn't see that it really gave you any advantage on the fee that you would pay, or any other competitive marketing advantage over any other tavern, especially? Except that you'd be selling your own product without going through a distributor.
But that's our product is going to be, speaking for the two of us at least, well, for the three of us, our product will be available to other taverns as well, so there's nothing there.
Mr. Chairman? Could you first, I've got some amendments here that are from you, Kurt, let's say section 2.1c, line 17. That should actually, if you're referring to the printed bill, be line
17. Right, I didn't have a copy of the...
I understand that. But okay. Could you read to me, what you just read seemed a little different than what's on the paper that you got.
Okay, the way we're proposing that read is... let's see, to sell pasteurized...
Which line?
To sell unpasteurized. To sell... Oh, I'm...
Yeah, it just, it starts in the center of the sentence.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ekus, gentlemen, it should be line 13, and you have on your amendments line 17.
We're at that point.
I was addressing the wrong thing, and it's a confusion with what I have here. That is to sell pasteurized malt beverage manufactured on or off the licensed premises. at retail directly to the consumer for consumption. We're just proposing that it read on or off is the only addition that we're making to what you have there.
Okay. Mr. Chairman? Then I guess my question is related more to the unpasteurized aspect of C, where I think you have... Did you make any...
There are no changes to D. There are no changes to D. That stands as it is.
There are no changes to D. You are changing C to...
C. Just the only addition to C is to add manufactured on or off the licensed premises.
Okay, so it affects only where it's manufactured and not where the consumption is. It's just only manufactured, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, that's okay. Right.
Mr. Jones told me there was a difference in the fee, and it's shown as $50 for you and I guess $200 for any other tavern. Now, if you also want to compete with any other tavern by selling other people's beer, why shouldn't you pay the same fee that they pay?
One argument might be that as a brew pub, we're paying taxes on that beer that we sell retail. A regular tavern would not have that expense. So there's quite a bit of tax money that would be coming back to the state as a result of the beers that are sold out of that brew pub.
Now, you'll have to explain that to me a little bit more, because what I'm thinking in my mind is that even though the other tavern isn't paying the tax, it paid it somewhere along the line.
The brewery pays the tax. Regardless of where the beer is brewed.
Right.
We're paying, I believe it's $2.70 a barrel.
Okay, but some other brewery would have taxed, would have paid the tax before it ever got to the other tavern, right?
Yeah.
So that's still included in their cost, or anyway, I want to look at it. I think it's still an equivalent deal. Oops. Now, if you're only going to sell your own beer, or even maybe other microbreweries beer that was still in the keg and all that sort of thing, I can see that maybe there should be some special consideration on the fee that you pay. That if you're going to compete with every other tavern on an equal basis, I don't understand. I'm sure they're not going to like it. And I don't personally see why you should be given that preferential treatment. It's not much as $150 a year, but it makes a difference, I guess.
Maybe I can shed some light on it.
Okay.
If there's any parallel, it should be that in our fledgling Oregon wine industry, and they basically, most of them, work under what they call a farm license, which is not as severe a license as a commercial winery. There are different degrees in this, and they are given a break that way. And we do further give break, because you probably remember being on the revenue committee for all these years, to Oregon wineries in regard to their tax breaks and so on. I think we have to look at this as being more of a brewery license rather than a tavern license. The tavern wouldn't exist without the brewery.
Yes, Chairman. Representative Anderson, can you tell me whether or not the wineries are also permitted to sell other wines in the winery? When they have that license?
I'm going to shoot from the hip. They are, I believe. Yes, they are. And they also are allowed to have a second outlet.
Mr. Chairman, make sure I understand what it says. I could go in to your brewery and drink your ale and, heaven forbid, walk out with a six-pack of Budweiser on my way out.
I think legally you would.
I mean, this would allow you to sell some other kind of, of beer.
I think you have to understand the intent here is to, the advantage of having a brew pub license is to show off your beers that you're manufacturing. And the tendency to bring in a Budweiser would just be counterproductive. The idea is to show a variety of manufactured beers at that premise, because that's really the attraction.
Yeah, I just wanted to make it. So it would be similar
though, to a tavern that has several draft beers but also sells bottled beers or cans to go. It may be in your interest, actually, to compare the taste of Budweiser and the ale, but...
Come forward, state your name.
My name is Fred Bowman. I represent Portland Brewing Company. And regarding the cost or the fee for this license, in order to have a brewery pub, you have to first have a brewery. The license fee for a brewery is $500. So this is just an addition to that. So it's not really an advantage as far as the license fee or the cap.
No, I don't think that's correct.
I just think to carry the conversation a little further, that in the most of the Oregon wineries, you would never see for sale a wine that was not a local Oregon wine product. You might, along the Columbia River, see one which was a farm-type licensed boutique operation from across the river. I think even that would be pretty rare. I think the intent of this bill is that they would have available other ales and beverages from other microbreweries, more than likely, to overall promote a new industry.
If I may just add, and again draw the analogy to the wineries, I think what we're having now at wineries is the facility is available to people for tastings, and people are making regular tours to wineries because of that privilege. And I can see the same thing happening with breweries, that there's people who want to experience different styles and types of beers will make these tours to the breweries. And that's the purpose of this legislation, is to provide an outlet for the retail market. And it could be a very exciting thing, I think, for Oregon to do this. It's exciting for other states as it is now. Washington is doing this and California is doing this.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions?
Well, Mr. I guess we're not really in work session now, but we do need a copy of those.
Division?
A finished copy of the amendments.
We have a work session.
We do have it. Here, the lines are wrong. Yeah. We can correct it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Smith, now. Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Dean Smith. I'm the administrator of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. We only had a short time to review this proposed bill, and unfortunately, as often occurs in such